Hello and welcome. The passage I'm talking on today is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus is continuing his Sermon on the Mount. You'll recall that earlier he taught his disciples how to pray by giving them a model, which we call the Lord's Prayer. He's now taking the lesson further by teaching them to pray in faith. Jesus uses three words to indicate desire would be met: ask, seek, and knock. Let's look at each of these words. Ask and it will be given to you. At first glance, this seems to imply that whatever we ask for, God will give us. Is this what Jesus is really saying, though? The Greek word used for ask is aiteo, which can have the meanings to crave or require. There is an expectation of an answer in these meanings. Jesus uses the example of how a parent would respond to a request from a child. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? But we all know that children don't always get what they want. I certainly didn't when I was young. I can remember asking for a bicycle, but my parents told me they couldn't afford one. So that night I prayed that I would get a bike, but I still didn't get one. James provides some guidance for us in chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. You want something but don't get it. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. There's two aspects to this verse. The first is that we often try to achieve things or get what we want without involving God. Jesus wants us to ask for what we desire rather than trying to do things in our own strength. The second is what we ask for and the underlying reasons for asking. As children, we learned there are some things we ask for where the answer was always no. In the end, we learned to stop asking for those things. We also learned that some things we asked for, if the circumstances were right, we received them. In this way, by listening to our parents, we were educated in what to ask for and how to ask. We didn't learn these things by never asking. We learned by continuing to ask, gradually learning our parents' minds, and asking according to what we thought would be acceptable to them. The Apostle John wrote, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." That's in 1 John 5:14 to 15. The key phrase here is according to his will. So in the same way that we learned what to ask of our parents, we need to learn what to ask of God. Asking for material things for our own pleasure may not get the result we want, but asking for things which benefit others would certainly fit. But the things Jesus wants us to ask for are much broader than we may think, and embrace the big and the small. Remember, God wants the best for every one of us. I remember a few years ago, I was talking to some friends and mentioned that I often pray for God's help with small do-it-yourself jobs around the house. One example was when I wanted to move the garage door opener from one side of the connecting door to the other. Everything went well until I had to feed the wire down the cavity. The problem was that the holes through the wooden cross ties inside the wall were offset. After many attempts with a straightened out metal coat hanger, I was about to give up when I thought I should pray about it. The very next attempt, the hanger went straight to where it needed to be, allowing me to pull the wire through. One of our friends criticised me for praying about this, saying that we should not bother God with such things. My answer was that I believed God wanted us to involve him in every aspect of our life, no matter how small. Now I usually pray for God's help before I start such a project. Jesus tells us to ask in faith and to expect an answer. Let's move on to the next word. Seek and you will find. Seek indicates a search for something that is either lost or has not yet been found or discovered. The Greek word used is zeteo, which means to inquire after, with the possible additional sense of strive for. Just previously in chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus instructed his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You'll recall that Jesus said this in the context of telling us not to worry, as God will take care of all our needs. When we consider it more deeply, Jesus is pointing his disciples to a kingdom and righteousness that are not immediately obvious. Today we have the benefit of all of the New Testament and a greater awareness of the kingdom of God. There are 41 verses in the Bible which use the word seek or its variations. Some of these, which are relevant to today's reading, were written by the prophets and include, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That's Jeremiah 29:13. "Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt, and they will seek my face in their misery. They will earnestly seek me." Hosea 5:15. "Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. Seek the Lord and live." Amos 5:4-6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." Isaiah 55:6. Seeking the kingdom and righteousness may be frustrating sometimes, but we mustn't give up. Excuse me. Jesus told us to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. We mature as Christians through this process, and if we persevere, we will find it. After all, Jesus made that promise to us. How do we do this? The most effective ways are through prayer and being immersed in his word, reading the Bible every day, and involving God in our lives by praying to him about all things. The third word is knock. Knock and the door will be opened to you. We've all faced closed or locked doors in our lifetime, and sometimes we may have knocked on them without getting an answer. We could consider Jesus' words as referring to a physical door, but it has a much broader meaning. In the New Testament, an open door seems to refer to an opportunity. For example, Acts 14:27. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me. And there are many who oppose me." 2 Corinthians 2:12. "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me." And in Colossians 4:3, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." Jesus is telling us to knock on the door of opportunity and it will be open to us. This is the opportunity to spread the gospel or support fellow Christians or help our neighbours. These three commands are not one-off actions. The Greek tense used signifies the idea of continuous and habitual action, so we could consider them as keep on asking and it will be given you, keep on seeking and you will find, keep on knocking and it will be opened to you. This suggests habitual and intensive praying, not for things but to enable us to achieve. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that God will give us everything we ask for. He is always ready to give us his best though, as it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The emphasis on continuous action in prayer is part of what Jesus intended. If we look at Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 10, just before he says, "Ask and it will be given to you," Jesus tells a story of a man who has just settled down at night with his wife. Then Jesus said to him, to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." In the Middle East, it is expected that as a host, you will feed someone who arrives at your door. Because the host kept knocking on his neighbour's door, he was given bread to feed his guest. The words "shameless audacity" indicate the host's boldness in continuing to knock until his request was met. Jesus tells a similar parable in Luke 18, 1-6. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says.'" Luke is clear. Both of these parables indicate we are to persevere in our prayers. It does not mean that God will only act if we keep pestering him, or that he is unjust. The point is that we are to continue to pray and not give up. As an aside, Matthew's and Luke's versions of events are different. Some people use the differences in the four Gospels as evidence to dispute the accuracy of the Bible. However, this is one of the great things about the Gospels. We have four different perspectives of the same events, but all of them agree on the basic facts. If we consider the purpose of each Gospel, it is clear to see why they are different. Matthew's perspective: the promised one is here, see his credentials. Mark's perspective: this is how he worked, see his power. Luke's perspective: this is what he was like, see his nature. John's perspective: this is who he really was, see his Godship. But back to the topic. Throughout the history of Israel, there were many times when conditions were so bad, the Israelites were discouraged and ready to quit. But a prophet would always come along and encourage them to continue to seek God. And eventually, the answer would come. In our lives too, there are conditions that we want changed. Our instruction as Christians is to continue to pray and not to give up. Jesus himself set the example. Many times in his ministry, he went off to pray earnestly by himself. including in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. Asking continuously is not a sign of unbelief, which some claim, but rather a sign of faith. Praying until we receive the answer, knowing that God will give us what we seek. Sometimes we may be afraid to pray in case the answer is not something we want to hear, or because we really don't know how to pray effectively. Jesus tells us to ask in faith and to trust God's goodness. Jesus finishes this passage with what has come to be known as the Golden Rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. This is a perfect guideline for how we should act. We should always treat others in the way we would like to be treated. Later on in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus answers a question by one of the Pharisees, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While they are stated differently, both statements by Jesus are consistent. They command us to recognise our relationship with God, and because of his goodness and faithfulness in giving good gifts to us as his children, we are to do good to others. In summary, the three words used by Jesus, ask, seek, knock, are inextricably linked. They command us to continuously ask God to help us, seek his will for us, and to open up opportunities for us to further his kingdom, serve one another, and do good to our neighbours. Let us pray. Father, help us to learn persistence and seriousness in prayer, and to obey Jesus by praying in faith. Help us to keep on asking for your empowerment, keep on seeking your kingdom and righteousness, and keep on knocking on the door of opportunity to spread your gospel, serve one another, and help our neighbours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.